Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. Well, I think the reading said love so many times I might not have to say it, but I will. Last Sunday, we reveled in the idea of the abiding love of Jesus in that beautiful and powerful image of the vine and the vine grower and us as the branches. And today, we continue to hear about how closely related we are to Jesus and to God, and how important being in them with abiding love is, and them in us. Abiding love doesn't fail. So this gathering with the disciples continues to be part of what's called the farewell speech or discourse from Jesus, where he's telling his disciples goodbye because he's getting ready to die. And they're not exactly exuberant about this. They're concerned, what's going to happen? How in the world can this happen to the Messiah, to our Jesus? But Jesus reminds them and turns it around into a context that when he does these things, when these things happen, they are done so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. His death and suffering were necessary. Sometimes it's hard to take that. I was driving, and as I am will to do, if I see a church sign that has something pithy, I usually read it, and usually I forget it before I get home, but this one stuck with me. It said, if you believe in Jesus, that's history. If you believe in Jesus that he died for you, that's salvation. Pretty good for Baptists. Sorry. Jesus abides in the Father. The Father abides in the Son, all in love. And he promises to abide, to continue to abide with his disciples through the power of the Spirit. For them and for us, abiding love is kept real, is realized, is felt, is known through the disciples then and now. For us, abiding love is real when we keep Jesus' commandments, which all center around loving one another. Seems simple to say. All you need is love. That's part of it. It's not all quite that simple. We have to consider, what does it really mean to love one another? I mean, really love one another. It's like, not like, oh, hey man, I love you. When I think about what it means to abide with God and with Jesus, and to think about this different way of thinking about and housing love in our hearts and our souls, some words came to mind. The first one is abide. Now, that's pretty obvious why it came to mind. But I think I mentioned it last week, and I'm going to mention it again, how tender and how intimate the image is that word brings to my heart. When I think that Jesus abides with me, in every fiber of my being, it's really hard to not love. The next word is commit. What does it mean to commit? It means to honor a promise, to honor something. And Jesus is calling his disciples to commit to continuing the work. Over and over again, he sends his disciples out. He teaches them. He tells them. He compels them to commit to an idea that the world is not ready for, and the world does not want to embrace, that this scraggly dude is the Messiah. Where's his crown? Where are the jewels? Where's our winning lottery ticket? Abiding love is kept real in our hearts through Jesus, so is our desire and our need for commitment. Now, I can only speak for myself, but sometimes I really think and wonder, am I doing enough, Lord? Is this what you want me to do? And I commit to doing my best, and the Spirit hangs out with me. The next word is friendship. What does it mean? We talked about this a little bit already. What does it mean to lay down your life for someone? To be present, truly present in one another's times of trivial things and one another's times of huge, important things. Threat and crisis are times that we can lay down our life, and I don't mean that thing about, well, who would you lay down your life for? Who would you die for? That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about giving up something of ourselves for someone that we deeply care for, that we call friends. Being Jesus' friend is to be loved by him and then to love others as Jesus has loved. That's true friendship. Loving one another is not a joke. It's serious business. It's not just about, oh, I love my church, I love my car, I love my house, I love my family. It's so much deeper than that. It's the essence of the creation, the essence of our eternal life. The next word is joy. We're there with the disciples, at least I am, as I'm listening to Jesus and I'm thinking, really, Jesus, probably just like they are, do you have to do this? Can't you just stick around a little bit longer? But this is an Easter gospel, and we are Easter people. And when we abide in love, we experience a relationship that takes us not to a place of sadness, not to a place of sorrow, not to a place of fear, but exactly where God the Father wants us to be and exactly where God sent his Son so that we may have joy and that joy may be complete in living a life that is honorable and that abides in love with God and Jesus, one another, and even with the Spirit. So the next word is pray. And now I'm going to go a little bit off topic. I talked to you a little bit at announcement time last week about the Pray for Five program, which was started some years ago, I don't know, five or six, by the Archbishop of Canterbury and has turned into an international time of prayer. Thousands of people all over the world are praying. And the essence of this prayer, the time is between the Ascension, which is Thursday, and Pentecost, which we're going to be a little late for. But the essence of this prayer time is that we take five names that we feel like need to come to Christ, that we pray will come to Christ. This is a discipleship of prayer that's between you and God. You're not going to run out and say to this person, hey, man, I'm praying for you. You're one of my five. You know, but God knows who you're praying for. So we're going to do a little interactive thing here. I have these little cards, and they have five lines. And if you need a pen, I'm going to send a pen around. And you're going to write down, and this is just between you and God, write down the five people that you are going to pray for the next little bit, 9 days. And then, this wasn't my idea, this is part of their website, we are going to take a piece of rawhide, and I have several pieces of vegan rawhide, for those of you who would prefer not to have a piece of cow around your wrist. This is going to require some assistance, so you're going to help one another. We're just going to take a little bit to do it. And we're going to tie five knots in this piece of leather. You kind of got to put them a little bit close together so that it's not too big. And you can, if it's too big or too small, you can easily adjust these knots. Just like you're tying your shoes. All right, five. And then you're going to put it on. And if you don't want to wear it, that's okay. Put it in your pocket. In your prayer time, get it out. And use it almost like a rosary. Each knot, pray for that person on your list. All right, so who said we don't have fun? We haven't had any really good fun in a while. So these are vegan. Would you like to have a vegan one so you don't have the contact with the cow? There you go. And if you need help, I'm happy to help. Have not come to Christ, or who you don't really feel are living the Christ life that they claim to, or that they've fallen away. Somebody that you think needs serious prayer about their salvation. You can even pray for me. I need all the help I can get. So five knots. And if you can help somebody that around you, that's good, because in a minute it's definitely going to take two people. You're going to make a little bracelet. And Richard's going to help you. Never heard of such a thing, did you? All right. Praying for somebody. And you know, it might not be somebody that you're close to. Okay, so then this is where you're really going to need help, is to tie it around your wrist. All right, if you need help, I'm available. There you go. All right. Anybody need help? Man, you guys are amazing. I figured this would take all afternoon.
No sneaking in an extra person.
If you need six knots, you can make six. It's just the theme for the program is pray for five. At the bottom of the card that I gave you, where he has the five lines to, and there's, I have pens and pencils. Nothing like a prepared vicar. I have pens and pencils if you need a writing implement to, if you need to cut the leather a little shorter. We can do all those things. I'll put them in the middle so that the people towards the back don't feel slighted. On the bottom of the card where it lists the five lines that are empty that you're going to fill, underneath there is a website. And the website is for the program Pray for Five, or what's their formal title anyway. But it's huge. It's every day there's an opportunity to watch a video from somebody somewhere in the world, a testimony. Every day there's a prayer and a little tiny snippet of Bible. And it's just amazing. There's kids, there's youth, there's bishops, all kinds of people. Thy Kingdom Come is the name of the movement. And it started out as an Anglican movement, and it now embraces, I forget how many denominations, but it's not just Anglican anymore. Yeah, I'm going to tell Bishop Bishop Justin that you said that. Next time I see him in to have tea. You might have to move one of those knots. You trying to get them equidistant? I was going to say, yeah, equidistant. There you
go.
Did you say you have scissors? Mm-hmm. I do. I have scissors and pens and pencils. Anybody else need scissors? Okay. Got it? What you need? Pencil? Pen? Okay. That's pencil. You want a pen?
Yeah, do you want a pen?
I got one.
Okay.
All right. All right. Anybody else need scissors?
What am I writing now?
Five names.
What's your name?
Five names. Can you put yourself down?
Yes. Yes, if you think you need help, which I certainly do.
No.
So what this whole thing does for me is a couple of things. It reminds me that prayer is not stagnant. Prayer isn't just something that you do and it's over. Prayer is a way of living. Prayer is a way of connecting with your Father, with Jesus, and with the Spirit, and with one another. One of the things that I love about the Anglican Communion is that if you do the daily office, which is morning prayer every morning, which I don't always succeed at doing, you are not ever doing it by yourself. Somewhere in the world, someone else is doing the morning prayer at the same time. That's pretty amazing to me. The Eucharist, right now, people all over the world are gathered just as we are to do the very same, maybe a little bit different, but the very same Eucharist, the very same connecting with Jesus as we do here this morning. So, my last words are from Brother Curtis, well, from St. Francis via Brother Curtis. And his word for that day, which was the other day, is now. The life we have been given is right now. Live today as if this were your last day. There's a story told of St. Francis of Assisi who was out hoeing his garden. A passerby asked him what he would do if he were to suddenly learn that he would die before the sunset that very day. Francis replied, "I would finish hoeing my garden." I invite you to stand and say with me the words of the Nicene Creed, which is a statement of faith of our church.